and make our declaration before him. Amen. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 15. And we do want to welcome everyone who is watching by Facebook, YouTube, and all that. And we hope the Spirit of God would be upon your heart and upon your life this morning. And we do want to welcome everyone here. It's good to have everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. And it's just good to see everybody, you know, that the Spirit of God can work and move and do what he wants to do. Amen. You know, one thing we need to always remember, the Word of God is the central point of every church. Amen. The Word.
Yeah, it should be.
The Word. The Word. Bring your Bibles to church, people. Bring them here so that you can see where the Word is coming from in that scripture, okay? It says in, I want to read one verse and then we'll read other verses later. But it says in Genesis 15, and I know this is a very familiar verse, 15 verse 6. And it says this, and he was talking about Abraham. You remember Father Abraham?
Yeah.
Remember his name was Abram and God changed it to Abraham. And his wife was Sarai and he changed it to Sarah. Okay, and it says, and he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed the Lord. And when Abraham believed the Lord, God said to Abraham, I count it unto you as righteousness. Now, God is telling us, his people, when we believe him and his word, and what he speaks to us, what he tells us through his word or through speaking to us by the Spirit of God, it has to line up with the word, though. Okay? That's our criteria. It has to line up. When he speaks things to us and we believe that word, he counts it unto his children as righteousness. And righteousness is right standing with who? God. Wow. People, God doesn't just, you know, he wants his people to believe him. You might say, well, isn't that hard? That's a hard statement. He wants his people to believe his word, and when we believe his word and what he speaks to us by the Spirit of God, it is counted as righteousness to that individual and to those people that it comes in contact with. My God, to believe his word no matter what, no matter what the world says about his word. Because you see, there's a lot of people that don't believe that word that's on your lap right now. They'll say that's foolishness. Or those things didn't happen. Those are just fables, fictional stories, things that didn't happen. But you see, to believe God in his word and what he says he will do, he will do. Abraham believed God. Now, we know Abraham, and we're going to go through a few things. God promised him many things. Many things he had to go through to get that promise. And many mistakes he made that we know of. But you see, even though, listen to me, even though God makes a promise to his people and we make a mistake, God will still honor his word. And we offer, and the church will throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's not God, people. That's not God. God is a merciful God. Now, that doesn't mean mistakes or whatever happens, that it's allowable by God. But his grace is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. Amen. That we have that grace upon our hearts and lives. that God comes in and the grace of God is there. You know, that we can rely upon that grace. We can rely upon that word. That Abraham believed God. We can believe our God.
Amen.
And what he speaks to you, if it's from the Spirit of Almighty God and he has spoken it to you, you can bank on it. It will happen no matter what goes on in this world. Because God is a man of his word. What he said was right is right, and what he says is wrong. And what he promises to his people, it will happen no matter what. Praise God. We can bank on it. My God, every time you and I open that word and I read about how he will bless and move and how his continuous blessing upon our hearts and upon our lives, how he leads and guides and will provide, and how he's the great deliverer for his people, we can bank on those words and believe it. That it wasn't just for the past.
That's right.
But it's for the present and it's for the future. We can bank on it, people. We can believe God's word. We can stand upon his word. We can believe those promises. We can stand upon those promises. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that it will happen. We may not see it with our eyes at the moment, but we can see it from the Spirit of God on the inside of us. That we can believe it. He believed God's word, what God spoke to him. And you know, the enemy will do everything he can to stop.
Yes,
try to.
Yeah.
But he can't. As the church, as individuals, pursue their God. My Lord. As they pursue him and what they desire for him to do. Don't give up on your children. I don't care how bad it gets. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on your spouse. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. Don't give up. Don't give up on family members, no matter how bad it gets. Because even when it gets bad, it's still God is moving. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, look, don't you think their knees were shaking? As that fiery furnace was heated up 7 times or so hotter, that when they opened that furnace, they opened that furnace, and the ones that opened it and threw them in were dead on the scene because it was so hot. But don't you think they were shaking in their shoes to stand and say, I will not bow to that idol. We need enough righteous people that will stand and say, we will not bow to the things of the world or the things of evil, but we will stand firm on the things of God. Let me tell you, sir, in God there's righteousness. In God there's life. In the world there's death, there's agony and defeat. But in God there's righteousness, peace, and love in God. And as they went into that furnace, they looked in the king and he said, my God, there's not just 3, but there's 4. And one looks like the Son of Man. My God. Look, when you're in the fire of furnace of life, always remember God never has forsaken you and I. But he's in the midst of that fire, helping us to get through and burning off those things that need to be burned off. You know, like I said last week, we're a bunch of messed up people. The whole world's messed up. The world is messed up. It's bad. We are a bunch of messed up people. Say yes. Because I know a lot of you think I'm very righteous. I know. But we are a bunch of messed up people. But I tell you what. But God comes in and changes our hearts, changes our lives, and gives us a purpose to live on. Gives us a purpose to have life upon the earth. Gives us a purpose to get things done by his Spirit and by his anointing and by his power. And as they were in that furnace, the things they tied their hands and feet to, that came off. Look, when you're in the furnace of fire of life, things will be burnt off.
Amen.
Burnt off. And that's what God wants. He wants those things to come off. Because you see, some things we can't have in our lives to be those things that we have sometimes in our lives stops us from doing what God wants us to do. So God has to put us through the furnace of fire to burn off those things so that we become more like Him, so that those things don't stop us from doing what God wants us to do. You know, God can't raise up a man or a woman and have pride and arrogance. It ain't going to work. It won't work. So what He does, He tries to humble and keep humble the people that He calls. He calls. We need to humble ourselves before Almighty God. Abraham humbled himself. He looked to God and he said, Lord, you are my God. Now, let's look at some things about Abraham, people. Look at this. Abraham believed God. He exercised his faith believing what God told him. The Lord counted it to Abraham for righteousness. He believed God. People, just keep believing God. Keep believing God. Keep believing God. Keep believing God. You may say, Pastor, I failed. I failed. I failed. I failed. Keep believing God for your deliverance. Keep believing God for your deliverance. Keep believing God for your deliverance. It's only through the cross of Calvary that Jesus gives us victory over all things. Remember, when Jesus said, it is finished, that means the price had been paid. Everything was done with. It's over with. He's won, my God. But the enemy thought he had won. And 3 days later, it says that Jesus rose from the grave, bringing victory for all Christians, all of God's people, for all mankind, to the end of eternity, that will trust in Christ and what He did at the cross of Calvary. I want you to go one page over, page 27, chapter 15, starting with verse 1. And it says this, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Abram is Abraham. That was before God changed his name. Saying, fear not, Abram. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Now here you see, Abram's scared and he's fearful. Verse 3. And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed. That means no son. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he who shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, or count the stars, if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. Then we go to verse 6. Look, let me tell you this. It says, after God told him that, God changed his name. God gave him a purpose because he was worried, fearful. A lot of times the devil will put fear in your heart and in your mind and in your life. And let me tell you, fear is never a good thing. Ever. He'll make you fearful of going outside. He'll make you fearful to go to the store. He'll make you fearful to live life. He'll make you fearful to come to church. He'll make you fearful to go wherever and do whatever. He'll tell you all kinds of things will happen at night, which is not true. Always remember this. Whatever the enemy says, it's totally opposite.
Amen.
Totally opposite. And he feared, he said, it was a fear. It was weighing upon his mind and heart. That Abraham said, and Abraham was a very wealthy man. Him and his wife had no children. And that was something that was weighing upon him, that, Lord, what's going to happen? I don't want to leave it to my servant, all these things that you have I have acquired or you have given unto me. And it says that he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Remember this. As you cry unto the Lord, I'm not talking, you can cry and not have tears. It's a going before Him. God will answer you. God will answer you. He may answer you by the Spirit of God, that's what He wants, or He may answer you through a word, the Word of God as you read it, or He may answer you from what someone else might be saying. He could use somebody that's not even a Christian that you're talking to that says something that just, and you know it in your spirit. That's the power of Almighty God. But Abraham was fearful. He had a fear. And God came in and He said, Abram, I'm going to settle your fears. The one you're thinking of that will own all you have will not be. And you will have a son. And he will be your heir. Now, we know Abraham and Sarah were of age when they had a child, huh? Sarah was 90. He was 100. They think from reading other books and trying to look at things, they think this happened about 30 years before they had their child. So if that's the scenario, he would have been 70 and she would have been 60. If that's the scenario. But they waited up close to about 30 years. Now, how many of us can last 30 years when God tells you something? You know, this is what we want. This is what we want. We want God to speak to us, and we have it in 10 minutes. Come on, say it right. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. We want it. And we know within that 30 years, Abraham and Sarah had some problems. You know? We have a little Hagar running around here and all that stuff. We have this child here. That wasn't the promise. I took it into their own hands and said, Lord, I know you're busy and things are going on because you have the whole world to contend with. But let me have this child, this promise. And look, it has caused us problems till today.
Yes, amen.
But wait on the promise of God. What He tells you He will do, He will do it. Yes. Believe God.
Yes.
Don't give up on what God has promised you. Don't give up on the deliverance and the freedom and the liberty that God has promised you. Don't give up on those things.
Yes.
What He's promised you, He will do it on His timetable.
Yes.
Because we are not in charge. Men of this world are not in charge. The women of this world are not in charge. The children are not in charge. But God is in charge of His people. And when He says He will do something, He will do it on His timetable. We got to do what He says and believe His word and stand upon it and know that what He says He will do, because He's a man of His word and He never tells a lie. We can count on our God. You can count on Him. You can believe Him for the things that He tells you. You can believe that what He says He will do no matter what.
Amen.
He just has to get His ducks in order. And not because He's not in order, because the world's out of order. And we're out of order sometimes. And God has to get things right on the inside of us.
Amen.
To get things to happen the way He needs it to happen. And God got Abraham in order and Sarah in order. You might say, well, they didn't have things in order. Well, you can see what happened. Something went wrong. You know? But God still kept His word. Let me tell you this, people. God keeps His word. No matter what. No matter what. Keep believing Him. Keep standing upon that word. Keep crying out to the Lord for souls. Keep crying out to the Lord for your children. Keep crying out to the Lord for your grandchildren. Keep crying out to the Lord for your spouse. Keep crying out to God for deliverance. For deliverance of all kinds, people. All kind. You might say it's just drugs. It's not just drugs. It's all kinds of stuff that have hindered God's people. All kinds of stuff that we need a God that can step in. But he's saying, now you got to surrender. You know that old song, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Abraham surrendered his life, and God came back and said, I will not forget. And look, he told him, you will have a son. How is this possible? That you can look up to the stars. And he says, look, count them. And you know, you can't count stars. There's so many of them. I mean, you know, one, two, three, and then you're trying to block this out. And okay, then you go, you know, there's no way. From one son, that your inheritance would be like the stars of the sky. From one, that's impossible. Huh? But with God, all things are possible. That we're all the seed now of Abraham. Because of his obedience, Abraham and Sarah. And I don't like to knock them because they made a mistake. Because who hasn't? Who hasn't made a bad decision? Anyone? Don't raise your hand. Who has not made a bad decision? Who has not made a bad play on life sometimes? You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean we're striving to do. We're just striving to do what's right. But sometimes in the midst of things, because of whatever's happening and scenario, we make some bad decisions. And they made one bad situation. But they came back and they did what was right. God keeps his promises. Now look at this. Believe God, people, no matter what. Believe God, no matter what. Fear not, Abraham. When Abraham started to follow Jehovah God, Elohim, God had to chip away areas in his life to get him to a point of total surrender to him. You know, in the beginning in Genesis 12:1, it says that he surrendered his native land, Ur of the Chaldeans. How many of us, if God said, I want you to get out of here, get out of this land and go somewhere, we'd probably say, oh, Lord, I don't know about that. Where would I work? You know, it'd be a hard thing, but he left that land. He surrendered his family. He left his father's home. He surrendered the fertile land of Jordan. Remember that? He surrendered the riches of Sodom. And his brother Lot had it. He surrendered himself. He surrendered Ishmael. And he surrendered Isaac. All those steps in his life got him to the place where God could keep his promise to him. A lot of times, honestly, you want me to tell you something? The promise we're praying about, we don't have. You know why? Because we're in the way. I'm telling you. Because there's some things in us that God is trying to get rid of and trying to put in us that we're stopping that promise from coming about. And so God has to keep working. God wouldn't have given him his son. That was the last, almost the last thing. The promised son. Not the son of the flesh, but the promised son of the spirit. God gave him that after he went through all the other stuff of leaving his father's home, leaving Lot and that land, leaving all Ur of the Chaldeans, leaving all that, leaving it behind. And let me tell you, when he left, he probably had a lot of stuff. He had some stuff, but he left it. Could we leave what we have today and serve a God that desires us? Could we do it? Could we leave because we love our God so much? Or do material things have such a hold on us Hey, there's nothing wrong with having material things. Hey, don't, you know, everybody wants a nice vehicle to drive, a nice home. And those are honorable things. You know what I'm saying? But would you be willing to leave it behind if you had to? Just a question in your mind. Could you? And go and do what he wants you to do. Could we? Could we follow him no matter what? Because of what he wants. Could we do what he wants us to do no matter what? Could we give what he wants us to give no matter what? I remember one time giving my last dollar. No, just nothing. But you had to, you know, you were giving because you had to give. You know, you give, you know, you want to give. $1 left and giving it. And saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. Payday is not till Friday. And it's Sunday. I don't know how I'd make it today with gas prices how they are, but but no money for gas, no money, no credit cards, nothing. They didn't have that long ago. But God, in an infinite mercy, gave me some money. Not that I was looking for him to give it to me, because no. But I was looking to give, to bless the house of the Lord. Because I knew there were things that needed to be paid, I'm sure, you know, this or that, whatever. But to give. And God, before I left, opened my Bible talking with somebody, and a $20 bill fell out. Ooh, I said, somebody lost some money. You know, you know it's not yours because you have zero, so you can't add zero to zero and get 20, you know. But with God, he can say, give a dollar, and he can give you 20 back. Not that we give to get. That's not the scenario. But he takes care of his children. Yes. He takes care of the things that we put first before him. Amen. And it's time the church gets out of being, letting other things become first instead of him being first in every aspect of our lives. We need to be sold out believers. We need to be sold out believers that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens to the body of Christ, no matter what happens, that we are sold out to him because of who he is. Do you think it was easy for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand there and just stand? When they blow the trumpets and all the instruments, and they say, bow down to the image that the king had made, and whoever doesn't, severe consequences are coming. And only three, because it was brought there by captivity, okay? They are of Jewish descent. They knew that that image wasn't their God. How hard you think that was for them to stand up and say, no, I can't. I can't. I cannot do that. But to stand up strong and to say, I will stand for the things. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen. You know, they didn't know the king would do what he was going to do. But they didn't realize also that the King of Kings would be with them in that furnace. And we don't realize that sometimes when we go through the hard things of life, that God will be there with us in the fire like we've never seen him before. It doesn't say how long they stayed in there, but I tell you what, after being in the furnace with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all those things of entanglement fall off, who wants to come out? But they probably wanted to stay in there because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was in there. And no telling what he was telling them. No telling what he was sharing with them. My God, even in through the fiery furnace, let God speak to you and consume that word that you will need later on. the fire of Almighty God. Look, there's no one like Jesus Christ. I don't care what the world says. I don't care. Muhammad wasn't close at all. Buddha is not even a close two behind him. There's no other one like your God. Confucius doesn't even come close to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the only one that can bring deliverance. He's the only one that can soothe your soul. He's the only one that can bring you out of the fire of life and bring you to a place of peace and safety and help. That's the kind of God we serve. My God, my God. Don't ever let anyone try to put our God on the line of all these other small g's. Because there's no one like your God. And the devil knows it. And that's why he attacks God's children, tries to anyway. But we serve a God that is bigger and greater than what he ever could become. And will protect us and help us and encourage us and do what needs to be done to bring about the glory and the presence of God into our churches, into our homes, into our businesses. Even in where we work, let the power of Almighty God come in. Look, God is able. God is able. God is looking for a people that will humble themselves and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. But I know as I trust in you, you will bring it about. You will bring it about, and it will happen through who you are. In Numbers, it says, it talks about, you remember the children of Israel, because they backslid, it said snakes came and bit them. People were dying in Numbers. You can read it. And they went to the prophet and they said, what shall we do? And they called upon God and God said, okay, make a pole which represented the cross of Calvary and put a bronze snake upon it and put it in the middle of the camp. Now that's, you know, we're thinking man wouldn't come up with that. But God was saying, look at the cross and look at the one that brought the enemy that has brought you down. Amen. But look at the cross. And anybody that came that was bitten and they'd bow themselves and look at that pole, they were healed. The power of God. See, we want the power, but we got to obey him. We got to be obedient to his word and what the things he says to do. Don't let the enemy destroy your life. Don't let the enemy destroy your family. Don't let the enemy destroy your family. Don't let the enemy destroy you. But let God be God in you and through you. Lift up the pole of righteousness and stand for what is right in this day and age. Do what is right. One thing I try to have is mercy. 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 Because you know why? I want mercy.
Yes, amen.
You may not believe this, but you will fail.
Yes, amen.
Something will happen, and you will go down. But God gives us a way out. And we fall on our knees and we go before him.
Yes.
And he comes in by the power of God and changes everything that needs to be changed. Now you might say, well, how long do I fail for? God will make you stronger than ever before. Be strong and of good courage and be not afraid. God will encourage his church and his people, my God, in what he can do in your heart and in your life. Amen. You may stand, please. Believe the Lord in what he can do. Praise be unto our God. Praise be unto our God. Praise be unto our God. Oh, we give him praise and honor and glory.